So, on the Friday a while ago, I started with the 1 Corinthians 1:30, and I talked about wisdom, and I think I'm going to continue in that thought, not in wisdom, but on that verse. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus." And we are in Christ Jesus for sure. "Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And the last time I had the privilege to speak, I did speak on that Jesus is our wisdom. And I think I could summarize it in just that that wisdom was placed in our heart. That when we try to think of our wisdom and what we could figure out and what we could discern and what we could know, that all has to be in our heart, and that all is placed in our heart by God, and that we never could do anything other than what he's put into our heart to desire of. That's just the ability. We still have the choice to go after it. To believe him for it, to believe what he put there. And will we believe? Will we believe him for just a little bit of it? Will we believe him for all of it? And that same place of our heart is where we get to the next part, which is our righteousness. And he is our righteousness. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. And it's through faith and by faith. And if we turn to Philippians 3:9, we can read a little bit more about that. And in Philippians 3:9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." And I think you could just look at that right there and say, anything having to do with the law and me and concerning me, every bit of that would be my own righteousness. Anything there, my own righteousness, which is of the law. Anything that I'm trying to do, any of my own righteousness, any of the law, that's all the same thing, which is not what we want to be found in. And if we believe him, we can't be found in it. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So this is what we want to look at and lean on. Being found in him, in him alone. We don't need to be found anywhere else. I think anywhere else we're lost. Anything else that we're trying to discover that's outside of him, it's just going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be nothing. And again, this whole wisdom being put in the heart, God starts with our heart. He knows what he's doing. Wisdom and righteousness from the start. It's right there in our heart. So Romans 10:10, we'll go there. And in Romans 10:10, it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." This belief is not faith from the mind. Just like the wisdom wasn't faith from the mind, from our mind, it was from our heart. We had to believe from our heart, from that center of desire, that center of us, our being. If it was from our head, really that faith would have to be by something that we see, that visual evidence. We'd have to have proof. It's not really faith then, is it? If we have to be able to see it. I think a lot of times we have that, you gotta show me, I have to see it to believe it. If I don't see it, how am I gonna believe it? You know, show me something first. There has to be evidence to make a decision a lot of times. If we have a decision in our life to make, we have to see what's the past results of that thing before I'm gonna decide, oh yeah, okay, I'll accept that, I'll believe that that might succeed in my life. I need to be able to see it, but that's not heart faith. Naturally, yeah, we have to see the evidence. But spiritually, and if we're wise, we understand that believing is the evidence.
Yes, amen.
Believe, the faith is that substance. Yeah. And when we believe, we are righteous. Romans 1:6. There it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So there, the righteousness of God is only revealed by faith. We can't even see righteousness unless it's by faith. And when we see it, we're covered in it. We are righteous because He is our very righteousness. We have none. When we believe this, when we believe in Jesus as our Savior, our self-righteousness is actually done away with right then. It no longer even exists. Anything, any effort that we put into our life to be better or earn some merit with God is actually put away right then. Even though we could still go do it and, you know, try to figure things out after we believe, that self-righteousness that we try to do is done away with. Our flesh is removed and we're clothed upon with righteousness. And it's not a future thing, it's a now thing. And that last part of Romans 1:17, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you go to Habakkuk 2:4, it says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And I don't think we can overemphasize that. The just, which you are just, we live by his faith. And we can read about that again. If one verse isn't enough for you, let's read it again, Galatians 2:20.
Amen.
So if you go to Galatians 2:20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And here we go. "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain."
Amen.
So right there, I live by the faith of Jesus. My whole life consists because of his faith. Because of his love. Because he gave himself for me. And there is nothing I can do to frustrate that grace. There is nothing that I can do. It will never be exhausted for my life. And the one thing that I could say about this last part, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Amen.
This, again, it goes back to that law. If anything was accomplished by me doing something, by me obeying ordinances or a list of things, then Jesus died for no reason.
Amen.
Why would he had to die? Why would he have to give his life? Why would he have had to become a man? If I could accomplish everything through the obeying of an ordinance, the answer is He wouldn't have. He wouldn't have come if that would have needed to happen. If that was a possibility, don't you think God would have not sent his son to die if we could have merited something on our own? I would do anything for my kids. I would do absolutely anything for them. I would do anything for them. And I know my Father is the same way. I know God is the same way. But it had to happen this way because we cannot merit our own righteousness in any capacity. There is absolutely nothing that you can do within that, concerning that law, concerning those ordinances, concerning anything there that will ever give you one benefit towards God. In yourself, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. It's because I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. In Luke 5:36, we'll read about this. So this righteousness, when we believe, it clothes us, it covers us. This righteousness, it completely covers us. It's a new garment. So in Luke 5:36... Luke 5:36, it says, "And he also spake a parable unto them, No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine straightway, desireth new, for he saith, The old is better." And this is talking about this garment, these garments. And if I back up just a little bit, prior to that, Jesus is being asked about, like, why do the Pharisees fast and, you know, they don't drink, and why did the disciples of John fast a bunch of times and they don't drink and everything? And Jesus replied that, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and they shall fast in those days. And he's talking about the urgency there, that we're with Jesus now. And there was an urgency there, and there's an urgency now. But he's also talking about, later in this parable, about these garments. Is that appearance that they're looking, that appearance of what they were doing? It doesn't matter. That appearance of what they were doing and accomplishing, that fasting, which fasting and abstaining from things and doing things, that was, you know, how you maybe sanctified yourself or did certain things in that old letter of the law. And it represented certain things. You know, there was this separation there. It was trying to do something, right? But again, that stuff is done away with. Jesus done it. Eliminated every aspect of that. And so he's telling us, you only have a little bit of time.
Amen.
You only have a little bit of time.
Amen.
So I don't want you to have any pretense or fake things going on or try to make the appearance of something. I just want you to love me now.
Amen.
I want you to get into my word now. I want you to feast upon me now.
Yes.
I want you to sup with me now.
Yes.
And I don't care. All these appearance things, these things that you can do on the outside, that doesn't matter. That's done away with. It doesn't matter what that looks like. I don't even care. I can't see that. I want you to fellowship with me now. I want you to worship me now.
Yes.
There is not enough time
Yes.
in your life. I need you now. I want you now. That's what he wants for our lives.
Amen.
There's not going to be a lot of time.
Amen.
No matter if he takes us.
That's right.
In the air, or our life is ended, and he takes us home. We don't have a lot of time.
Amen.
We don't have time to mess around with those other things.
Amen.
And he's telling us that I'm not going to put a new garment on something that's old. I'm not covering it up. I think a lot of times we think about this righteousness, and maybe I'm just the only one who thinks about it this way, or has thought about this way in my life, but we think about it as kind of like an invisibility cloak, right? So we have this righteousness from Jesus, and it covers us, right? And that hides the sin that we do, or whatever. And it prevents that negativity and all those different things from coming out. And it kind of, it's I guess like in Harry Potter, I don't know if you watch the Harry Potter movies or whatever, but he puts a cloak on and you can't see him, and he can go around and do all the different things. And that's not what righteousness is at all. It's not an invisibility cloak. It doesn't hide the sin. The sin doesn't exist. It is a cloak of visibility. It shows God what you are to him, and it shows him that you are the righteousness of his son. It shows you.
Amen.
And it's how much are you willing to allow that to be amplified? How are you willing to grow up into that righteousness that is clothed upon you? In Ephesians 4:22, Ephesians 4:22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is Christ. This is Christ. Be renewed. And that ye put on the new man, Jesus, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is just that putting on that new man.
Amen.
Again, it's that righteousness. It's we're putting on this garment. And it's on something new. And it covers us. And it's beautiful. And it is a renewal in there. It's a renewal in it. Every moment, it refreshes us. It gives us everything that we need. And that we're to put off that former conversation of the old man. Again, put those things off. That anything that we could try and do, anything that we could try and talk about or discuss in our own, in that old man's life, we got to put it away. And I think that sometimes we think, oh, you know, I need to do this or do that or whatever, or like stop doing these things or stop doing those things or whatever. And when God clothes us with his righteousness, he doesn't even think about stop doing all those other things. The thinking and the trying to figure out what to do and not to do is what he wants us to get rid of. Because he only wants one thing from us. That's love.
Amen.
He only gave us one commandment. One thing. The one thing.
Love.
So all those thoughts of like, how should I be nice to somebody? How should I do the right thing? How should I not lie? How do I make these things work in my life? How do I choose what the right path is? God knows that we're going to do all those different things. And those thoughts, I mean, we have a million thoughts going through our mind, probably even right now, because it's just the way it is. And I love how Ty, and you bring that out all the time, how our mind is just constantly changing. And he understands that. And he made it so simple for us. Just put those things off. And love. That's it. That's it. So I'm going to read all of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. Not all of Corinthians, that would be a lot. All of 2 Corinthians 5. So we'll look at that. Because this is pretty much everything that we've been discussing right now. Again, it's about the righteousness, and then we're putting it off. And so we'll start here. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in the last study that I was talking about, why did God put wisdom in our heart? He's building something. He's building. And if all of this is removed, we have that building that God is building, that thing that he's doing. And that is everlasting. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And I know today, right now, all the things that are going on, I want to be there.
Amen.
I want to be there. And I know that God's put that desire in my heart.
Yes.
And there's that groaning today. And that earnest desire, he put that in my heart. I could never have done that.
Amen.
I could never have desired that.
Amen.
But he put it in my heart.
Yes, amen.
And he put that wisdom for it to be built. That earnest desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And we will never be found naked.
Amen.
We will never be found exposed. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's not that we want this life to end. It's that we want our life to really begin.
Yes. Yeah.
That life to take full form. His life.
Amen.
Now he that hath wrought in us the selfsame thing is God, who has also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. That faith is how we see that righteousness. And we have to believe God for that, that we are righteous. I think a lot of times it's tough for me to see that. I look at myself in the mirror and there's like some bad things going on there. God, how do you see me? How do you see me? I have to believe him for that.
Amen.
And that's the only way I can even take a step. That's the only way that we can walk, is by believing him and not by sight, because it's not what it appears like. It's what he sees it as. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We want to be present with him. I know it.
Yes.
Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And I know some might say, looking at that good or bad, and we're being judged whether or not, you know, I mean, there's a lot that says that we're being judged whether or not we would even go to heaven. But that's not what that is. We're being judged for a reward. What were we willing to take from God? It isn't about what we accomplished in our lives, the things that we were able to establish and do on our own. the laws that we were able to keep, how good of a person we were. What God is looking at for us, what were we willing to take from him?
Yes.
How much of his grace were we willing to say is mine?
Yes, amen.
Can we say like the Apostle Paul that this is, this grace, all grace is mine?
Yes.
You are partakers of my grace. He claimed every bit of grace for himself.
Yes.
And we can claim every bit of grace for our lives.
Amen.
And then knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. And there, I mean, we've just been talking about that in every single aspect. It's not about glorying in appearance. That glory is in our heart.
Amen.
And he's working on that in our heart.
Yes.
He put the wisdom in there, righteousness that we believed with our heart. And that righteousness is there. That's the whole, everything is in there. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. That life, that old man, that's done. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We can read it over and over again. This life we live is for Jesus. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man that after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new. We are new. This wasn't a restoration job. It wasn't a fixer-upper. The thing that it was, that we were, is gone. That thing that we were, that life that we lived, that old creation, it wasn't given upgrades. It wasn't given new parts. It was taken and it was done away with. It's completely gone. And that righteousness, and Jesus had to do that, because that righteousness that we are clothed upon had to be placed on something new. He's not going to take that old, that new garment and put it on something that's old. It's on something that's new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by, to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. He's brought us back. He's brought us to himself.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that ye be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
And that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose. And we're talking about Jesus. He is to us righteousness. But why did he do that? That we might be made, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's something that's hard to even like. There's no way we could ever articulate what that means. But he became sin, who knew no sin. He became the thing, the very thing that God could not look at with the least degree of allowance. He became that sin. So that thing that we struggle with, that we say, oh, I wish I didn't sin today. He became that. That we might be made the very righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
That righteousness of God in Jesus.
Yes.
The very thing that we're clothed upon, He is making us into. That righteousness that God is to us. He did that so that we could be made that. The very righteousness of God. And if you're still struggling with it, I get it. I understand. Like, I want to do the right thing. I constantly struggle. I daily struggle with it. I want to do the right thing, and I don't want to make a mistake. And there's things that, whether it be thorns, you could call it whatever it is, maybe they're with you daily, maybe they're with you weekly, maybe they come back every year, whatever it might be, and you're just so frustrated. You're like, why? Why can't that just go away? But all that, God became that.
Right.
He became sin for us.
Amen.
That I could be the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't know if I'll ever solve those things that are that in my life. All I know is I can trust God for it.
Yes.
And I can believe that He loves me.
Amen. Yes.
He loves me. He loves me. He loves me.
That's right. Amen.
He loves me so much. He loves me beyond what I could even imagine. Beyond anything. And so I literally have to turn my brain off. I have to say, I'm going to stop thinking about this. Lord, when that happens, Jesus, I love you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I know. And Jesus, you love me. Jesus, you love me. Jesus, you love me. So we're clothed with this righteousness. We can't do anything without it. I mean, we can't. I think about, like, this idea of wearing nice clothes. And, like, sometimes you walk into a place and you're wearing, you know, maybe you're wearing your favorite shirt or your favorite dress or whatever. And in a natural sense, like, you know, you feel like you look good. Maybe it's like all sloppy, like right now, shirt's untucked, whatever, I don't know, hair's a mess. But sometimes you put on like a, you know, your favorite coat or whatever, and you feel like, oh, I feel pretty good. And Jesus wants us to realize that we have that beautiful clothing on us.
Yes, we do.
So that confidence that we have, maybe in the natural sense, when we're looking good, He wants us to have that confidence, but like super abounding confidence. Not just in the sense of like I feel like I'm dressed nicer, I look good or whatever. He wants us to know that's my desire. God,
amen.
Jesus is looking at us. That's my desire. That's my love.
That's right.
You are the most fair. You are the most beautiful. All I see is that righteousness. I don't see anything else but that. And I want you to have confidence in it.
Yes.
So we are clothed in that righteousness. But that righteousness is also our armor.
Amen.
We turn to Ephesians 6:14. Ephesians 6:14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness." And what does the breastplate cover?
Your heart.
Yeah, it covers our heart. That's where God put the wisdom. That's where through our heart, we believed unto righteousness. That's where Jesus is. That breastplate is impenetrable. It's incorruptible. It's perfect. We are covered and protected. So that confidence clothing is also a protection clothing. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Nothing, nothing, nothing will get through there. Nothing will, not even us, when we're like struggling against it. No weapon, no thing will ever get in there. That thing is protected. That armor, that breastplate of righteousness is covering your heart, which keeps our hearts and minds. That's Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Amen. So that wisdom that's in your heart,
yes,
your knower, which again is not in your head, the way that you understand anything, and the way that things are accomplished in your life, God protects that with that righteousness. And again, that feeling that we have when we look good, and then that feeling that we have when we're protected. If we had those, we're pretty confident, right? We're feeling pretty good. We feel like invincible, and then we feel desired. Those are some pretty big things. And so this is what the work of righteousness is. So if we turn to Isaiah 32:17, and it's just going to flat out say it. Isaiah 32:17, it says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." That quietness is rest, being still, that stillness. It's being settled in the garments of righteousness that we're clothed upon. And that assurance is the place of refuge. We have peace. That the whole righteousness, the whole work of it, the whole thing that is working in our lives, the righteousness of God, it's working peace in our lives. If something's not at peace, we can seek the Lord for it.
Amen.
But we can understand that we are righteous.
Yes. Amen.
We are completely righteous. And that whole point of God's righteousness, that work, is peace. And are we settled in it? I think sometimes we put on a new pair of shoes or new clothing or whatever, and it maybe doesn't fit right or hasn't been broken and needs a little bit of time for us to get used to. And we kind of like struggle with it, and we move around, and then maybe we get used to it a little bit, and kind of feels like it starts to fit, and then we can't do without it. It's our favorite thing. You go into dinner and you need a jacket. I want my favorite jacket, you know? The one that I can actually eat in, not the one that, you know, is so stiff that I can't move around it. We start to feel like, Lord, you made this garment perfectly for me. This garment that's on me is perfectly tailored to me. It wasn't for anybody else. It wasn't for you. For you, it was for me. And your garment is for you. He perfectly tailored that for you. In James 3:18, it says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. So the things that righteousness begets, has to grow up in that peace. So peace and righteousness, those things are intertwined. And that righteousness, I mean, we look at Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So that faith, which gave us this righteousness, now gives us this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us right up to that throne of grace where there is only one mediator between man and God, and that's Him. And the fruit of His righteousness, which is the peace of God, keeps our hearts in mind. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I just think about that all the time. He's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. That peace, if I'm ever not at peace, Lord, I trust you, Lord.
Amen.
So, and I'll just continue real quick here on Job 29:14. We've talked about this clothing. And it says in Job 29:14, "I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem." And it is our clothing, but it is a crown. I'm going to hop over to 2 Timothy 4:8 real quick. And it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love His appearing." We have that now. He put that garment on us. He put that crown on us. He gave it to us. He gave it to us right now. And are we willing to trust Him for it? Will we believe Him for it? Will we believe Him to grow up into that? Will we allow Him to build upon that in our hearts? We just have to hold fast to it.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's just love. That's it. It's love. Will we accept that God loved us so much that He did everything for us? That's it. Will we believe Him that He loved us so much that He did everything? He did it all. Will I believe that I can't do anything and that He did it all?
Yes.
God, You did it all.
Amen.
How is that so hard to believe? Jesus, You did it all. You accomplished everything. I just need to believe You for it. So I'll end with this last part. Psalm 85:9. So in Psalm 85:9, we'll read through a little bit. It says, "Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and He shall set us in the way of His steps." And I read this, and I know David was after God's heart.
Amen.
And this is intimacy. Mercy and truth are met together. You are a vessel of mercy. You are a vessel of mercy. He is the truth. That meeting together, this our met together, is this word that means to come in contact with, whether by accident or by violence. It's to come to that face-to-faceness. That's intimacy. That's coming together with Jesus. And it says righteousness and peace have kissed. And that kissing, I know that that's that worship. I know that that's that worship that I can have, that place that He's set for me, that special place that he set for me. That kiss also means there's, it means to kiss. It means to, it's that embrace. But it also means to be armed. It's when something gets armed. It's like that switch that makes the bomb active. It's that being given that sword, putting it in your hand. There's a beauty in that, that God is getting us ready by his love, with his love.
Yes.
It's also said, that kiss is also said in Ezekiel 3:13. It says, I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another. That's that same word, kissed. So until we settle into the grace of God that Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, we won't see that bountiful peace that we're surrounded by, the peace that he is. We have to rest in it. We have to trust that he did everything. He accomplished it. And it's the peace and rest that we are being transformed into. And he's doing this all for his good pleasure. He's doing this for a purpose. He's doing this for his bride.
Yes.
That righteousness, all that, he became our righteousness so that we could become the very righteousness of God. So that we could be clothed with that righteousness.
In him.
Yes. It's him.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
In Revelation 19:7.
Great.
It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The very righteousness of God, that Jesus died for us and became sin so that we could be that. And I think back to that Psalm 85:13, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. And I'm thinking about that bride walking down the aisle in righteousness. And those steps to him are perfectly ordered in your life. Despite whatever thing that's going on, despite the struggles, despite anything, when he looks at us, he just sees righteousness. He just sees his son. He just sees what we're clothed upon. With all that gown and that crown, that's what he sees. Will we see it too? Hope it's been a blessing.
Yes.